The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Just ahead of our time, taking a look at what happened today on Wall Street, we're going to spend some time talking about money and fundraising and getting capital for your business with our friend Sam Creamer of the Creamer Law Firm. Sam, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good, as always, to see you, sir.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here.
Well, so you're looking natty today. I love the coat, the sport coat with the yeah.
Well, thank you. Michael, I'm here today to talk a little bit about raising capital.
And yeah.
I think the starting point really should be distinguishing between raising capital and borrowing money. Those two things are very different. When you borrow money, it's normally at some type of rate with a repayment plan. Today, what I'd like to talk about is raising capital, meaning having somebody actually make an investment in the business itself.
Yeah, well, I'd be really interested in this because what you get from investors also oftentimes depends on how much you're willing to give them back.
What you're willing to give up. We've given some thought to this issue at the Creamer Law Firm, and we've kind of come up with five different things to think about in terms of raising capital.
Well, let's get into this then. What's the first thing we should know?
The first thing you should know is that in order to raise capital, you've got to be prepared. By preparation, I mean there should be good financial statements. It's best if those are prepared by an accountant, but if not, the tax return will probably do. Those financial statements should include a balance sheet, should include an income statement, and really should have the sources and uses of cash. The second thing that you need in that preparation mode is a business plan. Michael, one of the things that investors want to be sure of is that they're going to get their investment back with a return on their investment. The way that's got to be generated is through business operations. Accordingly, they want some certainty that you yourself, as the business owner, have thought through the business, have thought through its operations and activities to the point where you can produce a business plan.
Now, how in-depth does the business plan need to be?
It needs to be as in-depth as it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, for some types of businesses, it should be very in-depth. If they're very niche businesses, if they're in some type of very tight market, if they're more of a commodity type business, then it need not be quite as in depth. One of the elements of a business plan really should be a marketing plan. A marketing plan has lots of aspects to it. And quite frankly, we have a terrific marketing firm that works with the Creamer Law Firm. And that marketing firm is one you're vaguely familiar with.
I am vaguely familiar with that. And it's a struggle every day, sir.
Every good business is a struggle and an opportunity every
that's
day.
That's true. How true it is.
And I think another thing that's really important on being prepared is having a projection. You got to have a plan. You got to know what you think the future will be. Now, every investor realizes that a projection is just that. It's an assumption. It's a possibility. It's what could happen. But the fact that you've got projections means, again, you've thought through what is reasonable for the business and therefore what's reasonable for them to expect in return for their share of the business.
Is there an optimum time to start searching for capital? I mean, it would seem to me and appear to me that you should probably be in business for a while so that you've got some idea of what your projections are going to be and what your business plan and how it's working and whether or not it's working at all.
Absolutely. The best time to raise capital for your business is when you don't need it.
Yeah.
When you're sitting at a point where you're really worrying about sweating how to pay payroll, if you're worrying about your debts, that is no time to be thinking about raising capital. Having a track record is extremely important, aids you in raising capital, but also it can be easy to raise capital at the front end when there's a promise of a business. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, you know, electric cars or there was an article in today's paper about flying cars and Toyota's investment in those kinds of things. Again, Sometimes it's good at the very front end where there's big promise. Sometimes it's good if you've got a track record, and that track record should give some substantiation to your projections.
So we talked about being prepared for this opportunity to raise capital. Where do you get it?
There are several sources of capital. One source of capital we call angel investors. These are individuals that want to have an investment in the business, either because they like the kind of business or because they want to promote some type of activity that the business is involved in. These are individuals who are name individuals that mm-hmm. people know. Second type of investors or second source of capital are really out-of-market competitors. If you are running a business where you have out-of-state competitors that want to get into the state but don't know how to break in, sometimes you can create a strategic alliance which allows for a capital investment in your business. And these are people that it's a cheap entry into the business, and they can leverage your expertise.
Sure, they've already got somebody on the ground. Yeah.
A great example is when Keller Williams came in and absorbed a existing real estate firm. Another kind of investor is a venture capital investor. Now, clients all the time ask, how do we get this VC money? How do we get this money from what I'm going to call mezzanine investors? Because a venture capitalist is looking for a company that looks like it will go public soon. It's past the startup phase. Most of the time, venture capitalists won't look at startups. It's someone that's got a track record, and they're just leveraging in. There are other names for these types of people, and sometimes they're referred to as vulture capitalists, because what happens is they swoop in and take the best part of the company. There's a final group, and I refer to them as heroic investors.
Would that be family?
That would be family and friends.
Uh-huh.
These are also sometimes referred to as suckers. But the point is, a family or a friend. Well, Michael, I've developed a new old saying.
Yeah.
That is, family and friends are family and friends right up until money is money.
That's right.
And so these should be treated as any other strange investor. You know, just because they are your friend, they are your family, doesn't mean they don't need the same types of protections.
Got it.
That any other investor would need.
So treat them as investors.
Treat them as true investors.
Yeah, got it. All right. So what's all this going to cost us for raising all of this fund? How do you get there?
Well, there are many types of ways to compute the amount of capital in return for the amount of money. Now, what does that mean? For sometimes, companies say their company is worth $1 million and therefore 10% ought to sell for $100,000. And how they come to that $1 million is a lot more art than science.
Mm-hmm.
Most entrepreneurs overvalue their business,
sure.
Especially when they're seeking to raise capital. One of the things that you should be aware of when you're raising capital for your business is capital return is always going to be more expensive than borrowing. So if you can go to a bank and borrow money, let's say you borrow it at 6%, you should anticipate that an investor is going to require a return somewhere around 8 or 9%.
Sure.
And part of the reason for that is the investor has greater risk in the capital because the debts get paid before the return on investment. Another thing to be aware of is who is putting the money in. Different types of investors require and demand different types of return. So, for instance, an angel investor is probably somebody who's an economic investor and is saying, okay, I want a reasonable rate of return. I want to look forward to some kind of back-end profit. That's one type of investor. A venture capitalist is looking for a big score when the company goes public. Now, there is no money more expensive than family money.
And for lots of different reasons.
It's expensive in part because of the emotional cost that this money has. If you get capital from XYZ multimillionaire, okay, they want a return on investment.
So you know where they're at.
you know where they're at. If you get $10,000 from your brother-in-law, all of a sudden he wants to know why you're going out to eat, what kind of car are you driving, why is the vacation so long, what are the hours of the store, and there's a real emotional cost. But quite frankly, most of our clients find that when they're raising capital, and where it comes from may not necessarily be as important as the fact that it's available because of the business needs and operations.
We're talking with Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, from the Creamer Law Firm. We're talking about things that you need to know when you're out there in the study of raising capital for business.
Now, Michael, there's an additional cost in addition to an economic cost, and that's a managerial cost. Our clients think that, you know, they can raise XYZ amount of money and continue to run the business just like they were running it before. Well, that is not normally the case. What normally happens is an investor will want a seat at the table and some decision-making authority. Now, it's certainly possible that an investor could get non-voting stock, or certainly possible that the bylaws or the operating agreement could limit the authority that an investor would have either as a manager or a member of the board of directors. But most of the time, money talks, and it talks at board meetings, and it talks at manager meetings.
So just like your brother-in-law, the people that are coming in to help capitalize this business are going to want to know certain things.
Not only do they want to know, but they want communication. They want communication at least annually, but better quarterly. They want to have financial information. They also want to have some operational background and data. Now, we have found that investors who are getting their anticipated return on investment, they need a lot less information.
I'm sure. Yeah. If things are working.
When things aren't going so well, all of a sudden everybody wants to know everything. And similarly, we have found that if people make a large investment relative to their portfolio, they want a lot more information than somebody who doesn't really have a substantial proportional risk.
Okay. Well, we've talked over three areas of concern. One of the things that we report on every day here, we talk about Wall Street and what's going on with securities. If you're selling part of your business, or if you're giving stock in your business, do you have to register as a public company? How does that work?
The answer is you may or may not have to register. The securities laws are both state and federal. And they're fundamentally designed to protect investors from unscrupulous issuers of securities. They're also designed so that the deal is memorialized in some type of writing. There are a myriad of ways and exclusions to get around full documentation of these things. Now, when I say full documentation, I'm talking about either a prospectus or a private placement memorandum or some type of circular offering. And those types of things really are for larger offerings, okay? They're not for, you know, your friends who are going to invest. On the other hand, whenever you have capital involved, you've got risk involved.
Right.
Okay? And the risk is twofold. One, you won't get your return on investment. And two, you won't get your investment back. One of the things that we tell our clients to do routinely, whether they have to do one of these securities registrations or not, is to provide written documentation of what the deal is, what the investors ought to anticipate getting back, what the projections are, what the financials are, but most importantly, Michael, what are the risks of investing?
So a full discussion.
We want full disclosure. We want as little left to chance as possible. On the other hand, we've got to recognize the economics of the equity raise.
Well, any investor wants to know what the chances are, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. But it's very hard to predict the future.
Sure.
On the other hand, there are some things that are more cognizable than others and some things that are more realizable than others that create risk. And those are the types of things where if the deal goes south and everybody starts to sue, You don't want to be looking at an investor who says, you never told me this could happen.
So get it in writing.
Get it in writing, and there should be some documentation, even if it's not the full type of disclosure contemplated under securities registration laws.
All right. What happens on the back end of all this?
Well, there's two types of back ends. One type of back end I'll call a planned back end.
Mm-hmm.
A planned back end is where you've got some sort of buy-sell agreement where you hope – you intend that when certain events occur – the company buys out the investor, or the company goes public, or there's some kind of planned back end.
Sure.
These buy-sell agreements are extremely important because otherwise there's no way for a company to actually get rid of an investor, i.e. for the entrepreneur who started the business, to really get control of the business again. But by the same token, it was the investor whose capital allowed for the growth.
Mm.
The second is something much less formally planned, and that's to hope for the appearance of a greater fool.
That is see page one, right?
See page one. And, you know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Right.
And by the same token, I would say that most of the time, people who are in the capital accumulation mode oftentimes don't think through what Stephen Covey taught us. And Stephen Covey taught us you should begin with the end in mind. So when you're looking at raising capital, you should look to what you think the end result is going to do and how this is going to play out.
Wise words, my friend.
Michael, raising capital is more of an event than – more of a process than an event. It's something that takes many steps. You got to be ready. You got to recognize the sources of capital and be aware of who's providing the capital. You got to look at the legal constructs around it. And finally, you got to have some kind of back-end plan.
Yeah. Five things, ladies and gentlemen, that you should be aware of as you go about raising capital for business. And I suspect that folks at the Creamer Law Firm might be able to offer some wisdom on this to anyone that calls.
We have been involved in capital raises as small as $100,000, and we accomplished one transaction that was $32 million. And we're happy to work on these types of projects, but the most important thing is for our clients to recognize that this is, in fact, a process, not an event.
Got it.
And they've got to be willing to go through all the steps and do the things necessary to do it right. Michael, if you don't have the time to do it right, I'm going to have the time to do it over.
How well said. Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, from the Creamer Law Firm. Thank you, Sam, for doing this, as always.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Do appreciate it. All right. We're going to have to back out, find out, speaking of stocks and securities and those kinds of things, find out what happened today on Wall Street. What did the markets do? We'll also tell you about that redesignation of Apple and how that affected the markets today as well. That's all coming up next here on the Business News Hour.